Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, a great Father's Day to all the fathers out there. The Yankees drop one to the Rays, but are still on a trajectory to do amazing things. The Mets actually win a couple in a row. But a big sports story unfolded out east at Shinnecock Hills at the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka wins two U.S. Opens in a row. But the story was the course. You said you were proud of that golf course on Friday. The story continued to be how difficult it was to play, especially on Saturday. Phil Mickelson and his whole deal. And, man, I tell you, that was a storyline. Brooks Koepka, congratulations to him. But what everybody is talking about is the USGA and the handling of that course on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's really what it is. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. And, you know, I'm proud of the golf course, actually. I'm proud that it made people bitch and complain. You know, as far as Mike Davis is concerned, the president of the USGA, you know, he went on television and he kind of apologized to the players. Enough already. You know, everybody's out there playing the same golf course. And I know if you play a little bit later and it's a little bit more windy and a little drier, it's going to play harder. But that's the idea. The idea is will and skill. And with all the fescue, with all the fans around and with the wind and those guys not predicting the wind, they ran into a lot of trouble on Saturday. I was playing golf myself on Saturday, and I was playing with a bunch of guys, and we were kind of following along with what was going on. And, you know, one of the guys says, well, you know, if Dustin Johnson goes out there and shoots negative numbers again, he's going to run away with this whole thing. I'm saying, but what makes you think he's going to run around and or go out there and shoot negative numbers again? I mean, it is breezy. It is dry. They did not water the greens. And the pin placements on Saturday, look, I know they're hard, but these guys are the best in the world. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to make them work. It's supposed to drive them crazy and excite the fans. And I don't know what's more impressive. Tommy Fleetwood's finish of a 63 yesterday, only the sixth time that's ever done, or watching Brooks Koepka go through his round and save after save, long putt after long putt, either for par or for bogey, to save the round so he can win the round. So to me, you know, the true U.S. Open champion had to do what he did yesterday. He had a grind around the course. He shot a 68, but a couple of the putts that he made were unbelievable. Now, I would say this, that if the USGA would have put the pin placements on Saturday where they were yesterday, you'd have a bunch of guys shooting low scores, and then put the pin placements where they were on Saturday on Sunday would have made it unbelievable finish from a hard perspective.
Well, it seems like they overcompensated a lot on Sunday.
They overcorrected,
right?
They did.
Because everybody was complaining about it. They were taking a ton of heat. The USGA tends to take a ton of heat in these situations.
They said
to themselves, "All right, we're going to make it as easy as possible. That's what we're going to do for Sunday, so we don't have to hear about it because all we did was hear about it on Saturday." You know, the question that I have is, you know, it really seems like there is such a small margin of error when you are the USGA trying to figure this thing out, right? Because you've got, as you mentioned, the greens drying out throughout the day. The wind is a variable.
Yes,
the
pin placement. That's why Shinnecock Hills is the perfect venue for this.
But what I'm saying is, it's like they're getting crushed. How could it be this bad? How could it be here? But, I mean, it's damn near impossible to get the course perfect because there's some people that'll say the U.S. Open has to be the most difficult thing in the world. This is the way it's supposed to be. There's others that'll say, well, this is too hard. And to find that middle ground where everybody is happy is impossible. So why does everybody freak out? I mean, the course was too easy yesterday. No one should be shooting a 63
that's
at Shinnecock.
Right. On Sunday.
I hear that on Sunday, but then on Saturday, nobody can make a putt, and that sucks. I mean, I just don't understand. Well, it's like there's a sliver of what's acceptable for people, and the bitching and complaining is through the roof.
Well, and the whole thing comes down to, like, you know, good shots are not being rewarded. That's a big argument from the player standpoint, and some of the players, and this is great because now we all have social media, so the players can air their grievances publicly, which a number of players did. And I'm like, too bad. You know, how do you think Brooks Koepka feels when he holds that trophy up for the second year in a row, and the only guy to do that, I guess, you know, since Curtis Strange, and he looks at all those names, and his name's on there twice. You know why? Because he realized that he won a tournament in which Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and a number of other really well-known players couldn't even qualify for the second two rounds. So I would just say that it's got to be satisfying for him. I guess everybody else is going to be ticked off and pissed off about what happened out there. I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. I love watching those guys try to whack it out of the fescue. And you know, some of the shots that Koepka hit yesterday just to keep himself in contention was what a U.S. Open winner should have to do. And I look at it as, you know, I was very disappointed yesterday that they put almost all of the pin placements in the middle of the greens just to be a little bit softer to allow somebody like a Tommy Fleetwood to get back into the round.
Well, I mean, to shut everybody up. That's what it was about.
And if I were Dustin Johnson, I would be pissed that they did that. Because the previous 3 days, you know, all right, he blew up a little bit on Saturday, but the previous 3 days, he had to play in those tough conditions, and, you know, and he was leading, and he was under par for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, and then yesterday, he three-putted, I think, six times, and that's why he lost. And I was telling you that, you know, usually the hottest putter is going to win, especially on greens like they have at Shinnecock. I personally thought the golf course looked fantastic. I love watching these golfers really have a hard time winning. This is something that you want to win, and it's something that you want to have your name on. And when you have your name on that, you just it's such a relief and so exciting for the winner, while it's so frustrating and so maddening for all the other guys that lost.
Yeah, it was interesting that Brooks Koepka winning the U.S. Open at minus 14 the year before probably drove the USGA to make this as hard as possible, and then he ends up winning again the next year.
What did I tell you the day I came in here after I played that golf course?
Well, that most likely that you're going to see maybe at best one under, two under win, could be even, and very likely could be over
right.
par the winner.
And you know, and the thing is, I did not play it from the U.S. Open distances. You know, so the U.S. Open distance was about 7,600 yards, maybe a little bit less than that. I played it from the distance of about 6,800 yards, and I don't hit the ball nearly as far or straight as those guys do. And when I came walking off of that golf course, I was exhausted. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have to play that four straight days with 30,000 fans. The crowds were unbelievable. They were into it. New York golf is well. It was well represented. I thought this weekend I loved it. And then this whole thing with Phil Mickelson, right?
He's in your head.
You know, a lot of us amateurs have done what Phil Mickelson did on Saturday, and I know he was frustrated. But for the people that, you know, truly are traditionalists and love the game of golf, and, you know, the Happy Gilmores of the world, it doesn't matter. But for the people who are, you know, the governing body of golf, the people who have been around golf their entire life, the people who understand the traditions and the history and the gentlemanly nature of the game of golf, you know, were pissed off at Phil Mickelson. And I don't blame them. I don't blame that crew of people. And there was one of the announcers that, one of the press guys from Britain that was being interviewed by Holly Saunders and basically called him an ass. Basically said to Phil Mickelson, we call him an ass in England. And quite frankly, I can understand why. Because you know what? His actions basically embarrassed the USGA, embarrassed the golf course itself. And no matter what he says after the fact about how this was a strategic loophole in the rules that he tried to help himself with, You know, he should have never done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where golf gets a little too hoity-toity for me, is when the people put their nose up in the air and start slamming stuff like this. I mean, Phil Mickelson, to me, is a guy that deserves a pass on a moment like that. Is it the right thing to do? Obviously not. Is it ideal for the USGA? Obviously not. To put him in a pickle on Saturday because they had to figure out if there was going to be a disqualification. The guy had a 10 on a hole,
I'm
for
not
crying out loud.
Been disqualified.
Well, I mean, what is
that?
I mean, what does it really matter? I mean, really?
But you can't,
in the grand scheme of things, he's not hurting anybody. Nobody's in harm's way. I mean, it's just, it's a moment where he decided his frustrations boiled over, and that was that. And it just, to make such a tremendous deal out of it was just over the top for me.
So let me just ask you this question. How many rounds of golf have you played in the last 5 years?
I mean, it doesn't. What,
no, I'm just asking. I am not
a golfer. Right, I am not an avid golfer.
So
no.
I can't expect you to understand why there is a group of people that are within the game of golf that would find that so distasteful.
I understand that those people exist.
Yes.
I understand that they exist, and I disagree with them. I'm sorry. I don't see it from their perspective.
They don't
see it from my perspective, and that's fine.
It would be like them questioning the way that you do your radio show. You know,
people do that all the time.
I know, but this is their world. This is what they live in. I'll tell you, it was shocking because you never see that. Now, I see that with my buddies when I play. I mean, we do that kind of crap all the time, especially when you're in match play. But when you're in stroke play like that yesterday, I mean, on Saturday, and you do that on Shinnecock in the middle of the U.S. Open, it is so startling that a guy would do something like that.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, it's just, it's shocking to the people that have been around the game of golf their entire life and understand what the principles of golf are all about. That's why, you know, people in that part of the golf world got so upset with him. So some others, you know, they like it. They don't, you know, they see him as the everyday man. Believe me, he's not the everyday man. You know, he's a gazillionaire, flies around in a private jet, does whatever he wants, wherever he wants.
Sure.
And I think people, you know, that are in within the golf community are probably more sick and tired of the crap than they are understanding of what he did on Saturday. So at the end of the day, I loved it. I loved watching it yesterday. I sat there with Gunnar. We watched the whole thing. It was just awesome. I thought the golf course looked beautiful. I thought it was everything that I thought it was going to be, especially without the rain. And then when I heard that they watered the greens to make everybody nice and happy,
we could all have
low scores.
Total overcompensation.
We're going to put the pins right in the middle of the greens. I'm like, oh, man, forget it. Even though I believe the right guy won, one of two of the right guys won because of the way that they played all four rounds, I still think that they overcompensated.
Yeah, of course they did. They clearly did. I was watching a lot of the Golf Channel post-round stuff after yesterday and Brooks Koepka winning. I mean, and when you were saying it was a great weekend and all these things, you're proud of the golf course. I mean, the way they were talking about it, like this was a total disaster for the game of golf. I mean, these four guys that were sitting up there, that's live at the U.S. Open, you know, one guy said, we're at a crossroads here with
Jesus,
the game,
yeah,
and
right
we got to figure
right.
this out. Saturday was a disaster for the sport.
So we want 16 unders every week is what we want. They want home runs every week.
It confuses the hell out of me, I got to be honest with you.
I understand. I get where the upset nature comes from, but it's the U.S. Open, man. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be a four-day grind. There's supposed to be, you know, a lot of different like when Brooks Koepka, I think it was 11 yesterday, he pulls his ball over the left side of the green, and he's in the schmutz over there. So he knows it's almost impossible for him to hit it back on the green, to hold the green, that it's going to go rolling right off and it's going to go right into the trap. Well, that's exactly what happened. So now he's in the middle of grinding. He could easily double bogey a par three and walk off of there with a five. So now on his third shot, he hits a sand shot. He's about 10 to 12 feet away, and he makes a 10-foot to 12-foot putt to save bogey. That was the whole of the day right there, because that ultimately propelled him moving forward, and it got him the win. But that's the way the U.S. Open should be played. It should be a grind. It should be hard. And you should have to accomplish hard things in order to win, much like Dustin Johnson did on Thursday and Friday.
Well, is there something in your mind, can it be too hard? Can it go too far the other way?
Like I said, I would have liked to have seen, if you ask me now after the fact, and you know I'm not living in the moment, so I'm totally a Monday morning quarterback on this whole thing right now. I guess I would have said maybe on Saturday with the dry conditions,
you put the pin placements where they were on Sunday. So you make it a little bit easier, and then on Sunday you can water the greens and then put the pin placements where they were on Saturday, so the putting wouldn't be so severe on some of the holes. But I still think that at the end of the day, you know, plus one winning the U.S. Open is about right. I mean, I felt that way after I played the golf course 3 weeks ago. I still feel that way this morning.
There wasn't a lot of drama, though, at the end of it. I mean, there really wasn't.
But, you know, there was so much coming out of it, you know, and even like on Friday
it was all
morning,
about the course.
How about Friday morning? It was freaking raining.
Yeah, I know.
Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I know. It only really happened out east. There were showers.
And the fog and everything else. And
I mean, I just don't know how you fit. This is another reason why the USGA and the criticism there to me is like, how the hell are you supposed to make that golf course, of all golf courses, it dries out so quick, and the weather changing and the wind that's coming off the water.
Well, you also have different tee times, remember.
That's what I'm saying. How is it supposed to be the same golf course for the guys in the morning as it's going to be in the guys in the afternoon when you water the greens at night?
It's not going to be. It's going to be a little bit easier in the morning, and the drier and windier it becomes. And I'm telling you, man, Friday was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Friday was great. So was Saturday. Both rounds were great. You know, it's not that I want to see guys struggle. What I want to see is I want to see guys working to win the most coveted trophy in golf. I don't care what anybody says. You know, this is the Stanley Cup trophy in golf. It's a hard, hard trophy to win. And that's why I believe, you know, Brooks Koepka, the fact that he's done it now back-to-back, much like Curtis Strange and I guess five other players that have done this, you know, he stands, you know, at a certain level that when you see his name on that trophy, you'll remember that he had an unbelievable final round at Erin Hills, and you'll also remember that he slugged through a final round at Shinnecock Hills to win this coveted trophy. So I thought they overcorrected. I thought there was a lot of bitching and complaining, but you expect that from the PGA. And at the end of the day, it was a great championship, and I thought the golf course looked absolutely phenomenal.
And they'll be back in 2026.
Right.
I'll be 44 years old. And you'll be...
I don't know. I'll be a marshal out there on one of the
65
holes.
Or something?
Holding my hands up.
Yeah, right. All right, very good. So we'll see you there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.